welcome to part two of your birthday reading for 2015-16. In this section, I'm going to focus on the charts for Venus stationing retrograde and Venus stationing direct. This is a standout feature, and the chart pattern is really very interesting in the way that this works out. And like a lot of Venus retrogrades I've seen, there's just something special about it that I've never seen before. And it's just this odd thing that Venus retrogrades do. But, you know, Venus is special and, you know, likes to be noticed and is, known for her beauty. And so there's some correspondingly beautiful astrology. And here's how it looks. I'm going to, first of all, at the risk of alienating anyone who doesn't like to hear any technicalities, I do try to keep that down to a minimum and then weave in lots of interpretation. So here's what happens. Venus is about to enter Cancer at the time I'm recording this. It's currently in Gemini. It's about to enter Cancer later this week, in the second week of May. And then, on June 6th, Venus enters Leo. And it will progress slowly through Leo because it's approaching the station retrograde. So a planet slows down before it goes retrograde. And so it is going to spend from June 6th in Leo all the way through July 18th. In Leo. It's a long time to spend in one sign. It's going to spend longer there. Then it goes into Virgo, and it stays in 1 degree of Virgo for 12 days. In 1 degree of Virgo. That is interesting all by itself. And it's interesting for a lot of reasons. One of them is that it places emphasis on this very early area of Virgo, and Virgo is your fifth house, fifth solar house. Well, you know that is because you start your chart at Taurus, whether your sun or rising, and we're going to use houses of the sun or whole sign houses, same idea, and count out to Virgo. That's five signs away, and therefore Venus stops in the first degree of your fifth house. This is a signal that all of the themes of the fifth house are what this retrograde really is about, even though most of it takes place in Leo. Leo being your fourth house, a little bit closer to the core of your being. The fifth house is a very expressive house. It's a place where you you want to take your risks in the fifth house. You want to express yourself in the fifth house. The fourth house is more cautious. The fifth house is more daring. It's about gambling and adventure and games and playful sex and art and children and fun and things that are, where your expressive nature comes out. But you have Virgo on the fifth house, and Virgo is a cautious sign, especially to have on the fifth house. It's also a bit perfectionistic. It is focused on technique, and so these things have a way of, you might say, two things at least: slowing down your creative process, but also leading you into a concept of a creative process that is about endless refinement. This is part of why there are so many powerhouse Taurus artists, and why they are so influential in what they do. I have a couple of favorite rock stars, one of whom is, for example, David Byrne. And this is a person who is a true powerhouse. And also, I don't know if he would consider himself a perfectionist, but when you listen to the work he has produced, there is an impeccability to it. And so we might say that Virgo on the fifth describes a kind of perfectionism, or you could say that it describes impeccability. And an impeccability at least gets to the point where there is such a thing as good enough. There is a threshold reached. Perfectionism may seem to always be endlessly improving. I would say striving for impeccability is the thing, where there is a kind of a relative perfection, not an absolute perfection. This is a little bit semantic, but what I'm saying is that at a certain point you have to let go of things and release them into the world. And Virgo makes it challenging to do this because it can never seem perfect enough. And I think that part of what this retrograde is about is understanding that it is the underlying energy, the underlying spirit of a creative work of any kind that informs its ultimate presentation, rather than merely the refinement. And many artists have made the mistake of kind of refining the soul out of their work. And what I'm suggesting that you do is that while you're in the process of refining, this can mean refining yourself as an artist, refining a specific project, a long-term goal that you might have, a creative goal, the development of a body of work, or your development of yourself as a person, that you work with the concept of relative quality, of relative perfection, relative impeccability, and know that technique gets you so far. Technique is very important. There's nothing that you're going to do that is creative that is not going to involve the development of technique. It's just not in your nature to be that way. All of the earth signs have this in common, and all of the earth signs can have this develop into a hang-up that prevents the development of their work, right? Because you, at a certain point, you need to relax and let the flow happen. But Virgo is likely to be over and over again kind of self-editing and self-censoring and correcting. And so what happens is you reach a certain, you know, Venus travels along through Cancer and then through Leo, and then it arrives in Virgo in the first degree of Virgo, seeming to embark on a new sign. But what it does is it stops in Virgo, and that's the station retrograde. And it stays, as I said, in the first degree of Virgo for 12 whole days. It's moving very slowly forward for the first six, moving very slowly retrograde for the second six, but nonetheless, it appears to the naked eye to stop still in the sky. And there is power here. There is a concentration of energy, and you might find that this is a phase of refinement, that this is represents a relationship to some creative process that you are involved in. And I use the term creative process in a very broad way, because I think that ultimately anything we do that's worth doing involves a creative process. So I don't restrict it to just things that are done with paintbrushes or pastels or with musical instruments, but rather anything that is done with heart, soul, and a purpose. And Virgo is all about that purpose. Virgo is all about homing in on that sense of mission and that sense of meaning and often that sense of service that things do. And I think that with the service piece, that you can trust some underlying forces to guide you and not have to concern yourself with the service that something provides, knowing that anything that is done with creativity in mind is also is going to serve a purpose for the people who come in contact with it. So I would keep your frame of reference close in. That's partly the message of the retrograde also. And not concern yourself with the external impact, but rather with, on one level, understanding and consciously engaging with your process of refinement, and then going beneath that and staying beneath that to the level of where the emotional furnace is burning and the creative furnace is burning, and this we find in Leo in the fourth house. Now, what this presents is, it's a very compelling picture of Taurus the artist, and it's something that, there's something here about why I'm in love so often with the creative work of Taurians, and I am truly in love with the creative work of Taurians. They have been, some of the most important creative inspirations for me. The three I always mention are Bono. I know people have mixed feelings about him, but boy, he is the real thing as a rock star. And David Byrne and Brian Eno. And one of the one of my favorite Taurus artists is Joe Truso, my therapist and therapy trainer and mentor. But his personal art form is gem cutting. Now, talk about something that requires a combination of kind of brute strength, because he mines his own gems, and then he cuts them literally facet by facet. And if that's not the perfect image of Virgo on the fifth house, that conscious envisioning and the technical impeccability, but involving a natural object, a naturally occurring object, right? It's something that grows in the ground, a rock, a piece of diamond, a piece of quartz, an emerald, a ruby, some gem, and then applying what really is the discipline of the mind and the mind with the hands to express an underlying intent. And you can look at that underlying intent as being illustrated by Leo in your fourth house, because Leo is in itself leans toward being more daring. It is a hot sign. It is the central sign of the zodiac system. It's the reason why Midsummer Holiday takes place in Leo. In many systems organizing the zodiac, Leo is at the center. This is partly because the sun rules this sign. So we begin the zodiac system with the sun in the center, and therefore the sun is in the center of the zodiac. And the message here is to connect with the underlying source of your creativity, the emotional, psychic, psychological, spiritual impulse underneath the drive that you have to create, to make something, to participate, to learn, to develop, to refine your talent in any way. And so so in telling this story, this proceeds along for a while, and then there's a pause in Virgo, and there's like a long time to contemplate things. And I think that this can be an amazingly productive time for you, those dates being the 19th of July through the 31st of July, basically the last 11-ish hours on either side of the 19th and 31st days of July, to do what you can to set aside time, set aside space, and set something in motion now that builds to a kind of a peak of activity around that time. And then there is the station retrograde, there is a reversal, and there is an exploration of the previously explored territory, which is Leo, which is reconnecting with your childlike impulse, your inspiration. Leo on the fourth is the perfect picture of childlike inspiration, because both Leo and the fourth are so associated with childhood, and to recognize that there is a real measure of security and safety that you find in immersing yourself in the fiery part of creativity, in the impulsive part, in addition to the refinement part of creativity. So there's this understanding of the levels of the process of creative experience. Now, Virgo has another quality. Virgo has a self-critical property that is really worth taking note of. And you may get some experience of this. And the way that looks is, first of all, it is inherent in Virgo on its own. And by the way, one of the ways that Virgo manifests for you is Venus retrograde in the second house, Mercury retrograde in the second house coming right up, because Mercury is also connected to Virgo, your sign of creativity and daring, experimentation, and child's play made into adult art. And so there's this added thing. I talked about the talent inventory, the personal resources inventory of looking at your gifts and your talents associated with Mercury retrograde. And this point is redoubled by the fact that Mercury is also connected to your fifth house. And this, you know, I have to say the feeling I'm getting reading this is just, it just reeks of brilliantly, like a nice scent of the development of some talent. Now, I know how hard this is in the world where there is no time, seems to be no time, and I know how much discipline it can take. And right now, discipline will be your friend, and that includes giving yourself enough time to just sort of chill out, think, and goof off a little bit and let your creative process brew and ferment and kind of burn for a while. And this is a theme that lasts all throughout the year and well into your next birthday, owing to Jupiter arriving in Virgo, which I will conclude with. Okay, now let's talk about the critical portion of Virgo and why this is so vital to be conscious of. Okay, now there is this really weird slow-moving point, and the reason I say it's weird is that it's a hypothetical point. It doesn't really exist except in the minds of astrologers and in computer programs and in some books. So it's kind of figmentary. It's like it's kind of a phantasm in a way. And the point is called Trans-Pluto. And the point Trans-Pluto was developed by German astrologers during the search for a planet beyond Neptune. So there is, it is a hypothetical, it's called. It's speculative. But there is nothing in that orbit because there can't be. It's a circular orbit and it's a wildly long orbit, something like 75 years per sign. Let's just get a quick... I don't have a ready reference on Trans-Pluto, and like really, nobody dares to talk about it anymore besides me. Now, the way that I started using this thing was my computer program was updated, IO Edition was updated, Time Cycle, and they stuck it in for some reason. It's like thinking, wow, I read about this when I was a young astrology student, and I'll just... When they updated the program and added like six new points, I just put them all in and I started watching the thing. And so I don't really care if something exists or not in astrology. Like, is it out there? Can you land a thing on it? You know, can you go out, fly a ship out there and take a picture of it? I don't really care. What I care is if it appears in a chart, does it start talking to me? Does it say things? Is it interesting? Is it commenting on anything? And after like 6 years of watching this, it started to make messages. And one of the messages is about the need to broaden your viewpoint. So it is Virgo-ish in the shadow sense of Virgo in that it can have a viewpoint that narrows, and then the message, therefore, is to broaden your viewpoint. And the broadening of the viewpoint I see as being about relaxing your inner censor, your inner editor, that monitor that's judging your work as you work. And especially for you, given that you have a lot of mojo and integrity around your work, and this strong grounding in the earth signs is about making things. It is about making things of beauty and of value, and in particular of lasting value. All of the earth signs have this, especially Taurus, with Capricorn kind of tied for first place. And Virgo wants things to last and be beautiful as well. So there's almost an obsession in the earth signs with refinement, beauty, and durability. And this is highlighted now because, first of all, Venus is making the station retrograde in Virgo, but when Venus does this, it is making the station retrograde conjunct Trans-Pluto. And that is saying, ah, now we have a special theme that emerges here. And the special theme is get to know the nature of your inner censor. Get to know the nature of this thing that says, perhaps, not good enough, or I've got to make this perfect. I'll never start this till I'm ready. I must have studied till I can't do this till I've read so many books, but there's never a number. And it is a reminder in kind of opposite form, because you might keep tripping over it, to take a chance. The thing about the fifth house is it is the most fun, it is the most pleasurable, the most productive, the most creative, the most like itself when you take a chance. That's what every element of the fifth house has in common. One of the ways you know you understand house is that when you list off all the things that house contains, you can see they have a common thread. And the things the fifth house contains are pleasure, sex for fun, taking a chance, art, creativity, all forms of gambling, risk, speculation, dangerous sports like bungee jumping. Probably not your thing with Virgo there, but you never know. You might think, you might have this impulse to try something dangerous and daring, and I would say that actually would be a well-guided instinct, as long as you're working within understood boundaries. You want to the best degree you can, know the level of risk that you are taking. So that might not for you include something like base jumping, but for you it might include something like base playing. You might think, well, I'm going to take the risk and get a base and commit to taking a base lesson every week for a year. That's not that expensive. It's not necessarily that easy at first, but you will feed yourself with your willingness to take a chance on something. And so trans-Pluto in Virgo, especially in the fifth house, can represent a kind of a stilted childish impulse. In other words, the impulse, the passion and need to express yourself in the fashion of a child, fifth house, can, it's like it can have this parental overlay on it, but Venus stationing retrograde conjunct that parental overlay is a confrontation with the overly serious bit, the one that's like, no, you can't do that, you can't try that, and so forth. And all the earth signs have something about this going on. For example, Virgo rising has Capricorn on the fifth house. That Capricorn is saying, well, you never really get to be a child. And talk to a lot of Virgos and you'll start to hear the stories of, well, they didn't quite get to be a child because they had Capricorn on as the fifth sign out from theirs. With Taurus, the situation is similar, but it's more about a potentially overly serious cast on that childlike impulse. And now you're going to have trans-Pluto running through your fifth house for the rest of your life. And this is saying, get in contact with that and recognize the way that this particular impulse works. And what I have seen with trans-Pluto is that it can be very useful as a focusing impulse. The self-critical is a kind of a shadow side. The judgmental, self-judgmental, the self-critical of anything involving the fifth house, including, for example, yourself as a lover. Literally, not a relationship partner, but as a sex partner, you are likely to be overly critical and not of yourself, and quite possibly not recognize how much fun you are. And so the message there is, notice those impulses and those instincts and kind of wrap your head around the idea that this is just psychology operating. You don't have to follow this. This got here somehow. Someone did this to you. Kids are born pretty experimental. Now, not all of them are so friendly, but for the most part, kids want to experience life. And for the most part, adults are constantly imposing their fears on kids and saying, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Don't, you know, do the art project the way we say that you should do it. Don't take any liberties. And so this is a culture-wide phenomenon. Yes, there are finally some progressive methods of education where people have figured out that you maybe should just let kids be kids. And so the conjunction of Venus and trans-Pluto has got a lot of that, let kids be kids, but you're an adult, you see, and you're the mediator now. It's no longer the kindergarten teacher or the high school art teacher setting your rules, your boundaries, and the limits on your potential. Now it's you who gets to make those evaluations. You get to set that free. You get to decide what your potential actually is. And so I think that this encounter with the inner critic is going to be a vital, lifelong event. I would really have to search the ephemeris probably for centuries to find when there's going to be another station of Venus exactly conjunct trans-Pluto. It may be a once-in-a-lifetime event, like longer than, by lifetime I mean like once-in-a-trans-Pluto cycle event. So we can assume safely that this is really only going to happen once for practical purposes, and that it contains what I would call a life lesson. And that life lesson will be to help you get over the inhibitions on creativity, remembering that everything you do is involved with creativity. It is connected with creativity. There is a link, especially your most ordinary work, for example. One property of Virgo on the fifth is saying that even the most mundane tasks you do need to be done with a sense of adventure and daring associated with the fifth house. That is the way you explain the combination of Virgo and the fifth house, because Virgo is very much about everyday productivity, but the fifth house is about something unusually creative and daring. So when you put them together, you get a message. Your work needs to be adventurous. And we could take that further, and by adventurous, I mean even in the small mundane tasks, even in you know, whatever you consider your most routine activity, there must be some sense of infusion with your true creativity, even if it's just a little bit. Now, this carries over, by the way, into your sixth house, because your sixth house has Libra on it. And the message of the sixth house in Libra, lifetime message, dyed in the wool of the whole concept of Virgo, of Taurus, is that work must be beautiful. The daily work that you do must have an element of beauty. So with Taurus, this explains a lot. We get this commingling of ordinary work and creative daring. We get a mix of ordinary work and the need for beauty and expression in everything that you do. And this helps explain the power of Taurus artists, because it really is dharmic. It's quite a little beautiful zone of the zodiac when you think Virgo fifth, Libra sixth. That's a feature of your sign, whether you're Taurus sun, Taurus rising. That is an inherent feature of your sign. So remember that as you are choosing your activities, remember that as you are deciding what to do, why to do it, and how to do it, that there must be beauty and refinement and technique. The lesson you get now, this what looks like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get this, is to confront and engage this inner critic, and to convert that inner critic into something like specialization. That would be, you might think of that as a counterpart, as a counter-expression to trans-Pluto, right? Instead of narrowness, we have specialization. Instead of criticism, we have refinement and development of technique. But beneath all of that is Leo, the creative fire that is your fourth house, that is your real domicile. It's where you park yourself. It's where you orient. And now let's consider the movement of Jupiter. Jupiter is currently in the fifth. It means there's an abundance of that access to the underlying fire. And what happens is over the summer, by the time Venus stations direct, this happens during the Venus retrograde, Jupiter has moved into Virgo, where you get this sudden rush of expansion of your creative potential. Truly a beautiful setup. And obviously with any planetary retrograde, especially where it is your ruling planet, there are challenges, but these are challenges that will help you cultivate yourself and build the quality and the creative force of whatever it is that you are doing. And I strongly suggest you look up who some of the well-known Taurus creative figures have been throughout history and look at some of their work and study some of their work to see these properties of underlying passion, of daily routine, of refinement, and then of beauty infused into every aspect of the work, including your work environment. Very important to have that sense of beauty in the room where you are doing this work. Many people skimp on this, and that will not be productive in any way. You want to really make sure that you've got the right tools, that you've got enough space to work, that the light is right, and take your time and set this up. That's part about the investment in your home. Well, now the home we're talking about is your creative home. Now, there's one last theme I want to get into that I did get into somewhat in the in sort of the written preview to this reading, which is the series of Venus Mars conjunctions. This is pretty amazing. It happens periodically where Venus and Mars kind of track one another. Vedic astrology, one thing I know about this is that Vedic astrology cautions about competitiveness. That is the one main caution when Venus and Mars make a long series, a long conjunction, series of conjunctions that involve a retrograde, usually by Venus because it's the quicker moving planet. So therefore, it's the one that is slowing down to slower than the speed of Mars to create this conjunction effect. So thing one about the Venus-Mars conjunction is to ease off on competitiveness. And the way to do that is to emphasize collaboration and cooperation. This may be part of the message of the Scorpio Saturn retrograde to remind you that there can be emotional harmony rather than emotional competition. And the thing with these kind of sort of specialized kind of bits out of ancient astrology is they can function unconsciously. Like, for example, this message about competition might not actually be something that rises to the level of full awareness unless you have astrology to say, oh, by the way, these Vedic astrologers 2,000 years ago already covered this territory, and what they noticed was that competition is a persistent theme, and I'm suggesting that it's not going to help you, but that cooperation will facilitate things. Now, the Venus-Mars conjunctions happen, there are three of them, and one has happened very early in the year in January. That was in the second degree of Aries. So there was conjunction number one in a fire sign, and that to me looks like a kind of very idealized and adventurous vision of a relationship. There is a picture of collaboration that is in a sense self-serving. When the conjunction happens again, it's on September 1st. It's almost, it's basically 8 months later, if I recall correctly. It's a while later. It's been a long interval, and it's like there's a new meeting that takes place. The meeting is in Leo, and that is an evolution on Aries because there is more of a sense of creative mission. Aries is very high initiative, but Leo can bring in a sense of a creative mission and also develop a passionate quality that is more mutually serving and a little closer to that service orientation of Virgo, which is where this is heading once the conjunction happens in Leo and then both planets station direct. They move on very slowly, mind you. 2 months later, it takes 60 days between the last two conjunctions, between September 1st and November 2nd, and that takes place in Virgo. To me, this looks like the story of a relationship finding its purpose, and if there's not a relationship finding its purpose, you finding your purpose around relationship. So there's, and both are likely to be happening on some level. And if there is a relationship involved, there is also this refinement process of understanding that relationships need a purpose. Now, this is not a widely taught idea. I heard of one therapist who had this idea. I've never heard anyone else say this, but I've been saying it for a while, and it may be, I recognize that it is a kind of a bias. But that bias is that relationships need a job to do. It's not that they're, yes, they must be a mutual admiration society, and yes, they are about having fun and a kind of a celebration of life. But I think that when relationships have a purpose, they have an organizing principle. There's something besides you and me to organize around, and often when there's not a purpose, that organizing principle becomes a kind of an imaginary third party of, quote-unquote, the relationship as an entity. I'm working with that idea, but I'm de-romanticizing it. And instead of the relationship or the kind of sacred container or something being this third party, I'm saying the third party, to me, looks like purpose, a job to do, a mission, something to learn, to share, to teach, to make, to build, to cooperate, to collaborate on, to initiate in the world. And the series of conjunctions as they're moving from Aries to Leo to Virgo with the retrograde involved and Mars kind of following along represents a development of a sense of purpose. Now, I would note that as the person represented by Venus in this chart, you may experience kind of cycles of dedication to that. You may experience a period where you are very much into a sense of purpose, into a sense of sharing. Then there may be a retreat from that. There may be a need to go your own way. Then there may be another revelation that you have, and then that revelation develops into a new sense of sharing and of purpose. And I would suggest that you be patient about the transitions that you're going through and recognize that there is no need to come to any kind of a final determination or final kind of point of arrival as is so often pushed for in life, but rather that you allow your circumstances and your feelings about someone and your journey with someone to find their way gradually, to find their way gently, and then make their way toward that sense of purpose. And that you do your best to be gentle with the person in your life. And I mean, I've cautioned people who are under the Mars ruled signs, you know, around their partnerships to recognize that their partner, which would be you in this case, may seem to be making up their mind about something and there's not a lot you can do about it, but also don't think you need to predict the outcome. You will probably know by sometime in early November where you know the direction that things are going to now be established in for a while, that you'll arrive somewhere that is a place where the mutual journey can hang out for a while in that sense of purpose and that sense of productivity. P.S. Jupiter comes along, enters Virgo, and gives that whole theme a lift. It Jupiter in Virgo for you will emphasize the service piece, the creativity piece, and kind of convince you that you've got a lot to offer and a lot to share, and that you can afford to experiment and give that a try, because that's the only way you find out anything anyway is with that sense of experimentation, and that is what Virgo is about. So this may be a bigger experiment than you're considering doing. It may be a bit more exotic than you were considering, because Jupiter can often bring in that sense of the exotic, and you get to stretch yourself. You get to stretch your ideas, and you get to stretch your concepts. And I think that you will appreciate any confrontation you have with some narrow part of your mind, because this is your chance to say, ah, this is not serving my interests. And not only that, I'm going to take a small chance here and say that your self-judgments are not true, that it is figmentary, like trans-Pluto, and that there's a lot you can do about that that is positive and creative and constructive. And that seems to be the whole story of the year that you are about to go through. And collaboration becomes an ever more important theme as Saturn makes its way across Sagittarius, and as ever, there are further adventures ahead. All right, I've spoken now for 40 minutes. I'm going to pause and sleep, and then I will return sometime in the morning and do your tarot spread, and I will put this reading into your hands, which it is now. Okay, bless. Bye for now.